Are y'all ready to get into the Word tonight? Your hungry bunch comes out on Wednesday night. Everybody say, I'm hungry. Hungry for the Word of God. Amen. Well, last week, Pastor and I were sharing some things really about how obvious that it is that we are living in the last days. It is not a time to be fearful. It's a time to be faith-filled. Amen. Am I talking to the right bunch? It's time for us to take our place of authority and to offer our supply in prayer. I was looking at some scriptures today that, again, it just reiterates the time in which we are living. And don't ever say, well, you know, God, I don't like this time that you've let me be alive. I wish I could have been alive in a different time. You know what? God has saved the best for last. And I really believe that we have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And if you didn't have what it takes to be alive in 2024, you would have maybe been born in 1904. But instead, you're born now. And you're alive now. And you get to work with God here at the end of this age. So I like these scriptures over here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, out of the New King James. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in prayers. Well, you know, I love to talk about be happy and be joyful. So when I read that and it says, be serious. I'm not really that much of a serious person. But when it comes to the things of God, I am serious. We all need to be serious about believing His Word. Serious about praying and offering our supply. But as I was reading that today, this is what came up in my spirit and I wrote it down. When we pray serious prayers, they will always be followed with great joy because He answers them. Amen. We can be lifting up a really serious situation to the Lord and like, it's real crying and all of that. And it's good. We got to bear our heart and we do need to offer serious prayers. But they will always be followed with great joy. Well, there's scripture for that. Jesus said, ask that you might receive, then your joy would be full. So when we pray serious prayers in line with the Word of God, powerful, faith-filled prayers, and we see the answer, well, what's going to happen? We ought to be woo-hoo-hoo. Get joyful about it. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Ask according to His Word. And when we see the desired end result, we're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. And then that same passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, out of the Passion, it says, since we are approaching the end of all things, I love these words, be intentional, purposeful, and self-controlled so that you may be given to prayer. Intentional. That means prayer is not to be a shot in the dark. Not, yeah, never know what God might do. Yes, we do. God will answer His Word. The promises of God are yes and amen. He watches over His Word to perform it. He listens to His Word in our prayers to bring them to pass. How many of you ever heard of a guy by the name E.W. Kenyon? He lived many years ago but wrote some tremendous books. This is one of his quotes concerning prayer. Prayer should be God looking down to earth and seeing a mirror reflecting His Word back to Him. Yes. I love that. Prayer should be God looking down at earth and seeing a mirror reflecting His Word back to Him. We know when our prayers are based upon the Word of God, when they are intentional, we can be full of confidence that He hears and He answers. Be assured that when we pray prayers in line with the Word intentionally, they will be heard and answered. And then the other word that was in that passage, purposeful, I like that too. Prayer is not the last resort. You may have heard people say this: we've done everything else, now all we can do is pray. Like, you know, this is really bad. We've tried everything. We've talked to everybody. We pulled every lever. We pushed every button. It's come to prayer. Oh, this is horrible. No, it's not the last resort. Prayer should not be the last thing that we think to do. Prayer should be the first thing. We need to pray on purpose, expecting the answer, expecting to see the desired end result. Pastor Mark got this quote from the Lord years ago. It came up in his heart. I think I have it right. Sometimes I get it backwards. Powerful, purposeful prayer paves the way for the impossible to become possible. Powerful, purposeful. We pray on purpose. We don't pray as a last resort. We pray on purpose. And when we do, that kind of prayer paves the way for the impossible to become possible. Anyone in here ever faced a situation in the natural that looked impossible? Well, I think a better question would be, anyone in here not ever faced an impossible looking situation? If you've lived on this earth very long, we've all had that opportunity. We've all had a mountain staring us in the face, whether it's a physical challenge, a financial obstacle, something going wrong in relationships, all of these things that to us look like could never change. That's an impossible situation. But the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. And another translation says nothing is impossible to him that believeth. We got any believers in the house? So when we believe and our faith and our trust is in him, nothing will be impossible to us. And Pastor Nancy mentioned about the storm that Paul was in the shipwreck and in the storm. But I love the rest of some of that story. I love all that story. But he said, there stood by me an angel of the Lord this night and told him what she quoted, that no, you know, the ship's going to be destroyed, but nobody's going to lose their life. That looked like an impossible situation. But what happened? Jesus came in the midst of an impossible situation. I heard someone say this recently, and I wrote it down because it ministered to me. It doesn't matter what shows up in the room of your life. The only thing that matters is who is in the room. I don't know if it spoke to you like it did me. It doesn't matter what shows up in the room of your life. The only thing that matters is who is in the room. Amen. Paul had Jesus and the angel of the Lord in the midst of that storm. We have Jesus in the room of our heart. He lives on the inside of us. So it doesn't matter what kind of storm may come against us. What matters is who's in your ship. Who's in the room of your heart. Hallelujah. He will always show a way of escape. As long as Jesus is the center of our life, we have divine help. We have a glorious healer. We have supernatural peace. that passeth all understanding. We have protection. We have provision that comes from Him and Him alone. How many of you are thankful for Jesus? We love you, Jesus. Jesus, you are the center of my peace. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you are my everything, my all and all. As long as I have you, I have help.
Yes, that's right.
I have hope. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. Nothing is impossible.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Does that make you happy? It sure does me. Amen. So listen, I want to talk to you a little bit now about when these things, these storms of life that come to all of us, how we are supposed to react. I get titles, and the title that I got was Withstanding When the Attack Is On. And we've already talked about we've got Jesus. We've got His Word. But we also have the ability to persevere and to win in every single situation. Now, we're not going to read all of Ephesians chapter 6, but I would encourage you to do so. It talks about putting on the whole armor of God. But I do want to read a portion of it. We're going to begin in Ephesians 6 in verse 10. Anybody interested in hearing this? Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Jesus is the strength of our life. Amen. He is our everything. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let me just do a little footnote there. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's so easy to make people our target. They did this. They said that. Those people are my problem. Well, the people probably have problems, but they are not the source of the problem. It is the enemy. He certainly works through people that yield to him. But we got to keep our focus on the fact of what's behind that attack. What's behind that way that they're acting. It's an evil spirit. Maybe there's someone that you work with and you're like, man, that person is demon possessed. I'm sure, I'm convinced of it. Well, you can't get in their face and say, you are full of the devil and I'm casting him out. But you can go in the bathroom and under your breath, or if nobody's in there, say, I take authority over that evil spirit that's harassing me through that person that's operating through them. And I command it to desist in its maneuvers against me. Yeah. You go back out. They may have gone dumb. They might not be able to speak the rest of the day. You know, I don't know. But God hears and answers our prayers. But we have to know what we're dealing with. And it's evil forces. It's not people. Amen? Then verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. That's what we want to talk about. Withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice that phrase at the end there of verse 13 and the beginning of 14. Having done all to stand, stand. What is he saying here? He is emphasizing that we are in a fight. Jesus has won the victory, but we have to enforce Satan's defeat, and we have to be willing to stand and stand strong on the Word of God. Not cow down in fear. Not just go, oh, the big bad devil. No, we're not going to talk about the big bad devil because he is a little itty devil in face of our great, big, wonderful God. There is a stand of faith. There is a resisting the thoughts of fear and the doubt that we all have to deal with. Now let's keep on reading here. Oh, well, we already read it. So there in verse 13 again, the word that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now the word withstand, and I'm not going to look over there because I can't say the right Greek word, but I know the word there. I looked it up in Strong's and it's like anthistomy or something like that to me. And it comes from anti, which means against, and histomy, to cause to stand. This word, withstand, the verb suggests vigorously opposing, bravely resisting, standing face to face against an adversary, standing our ground. Just has anybody ever taken an antihistamine? Well, what does it do? Antihistamine puts a block on histamine and tells us that with the authority and the spiritual weapons granted to us, we can withstand the forces of the enemy. I like that one. Bravely resisting. Standing face to face against an adversary. If we'd read all about the armor of God, which I know you're familiar with or you can look at later, you will notice that in the armor of God, there's nothing for our backside. All front. The armor of God is all front. The shield of faith, the breastplate of salvation. Nothing for the back. We don't want to be like this little lady. You know, I grew up in Pentecostal churches and every Sunday night was testimony time. And this little lady said, I just want to get up tonight and say that I've got the devil on the run. So everybody said, okay, oh, that's great. She said, not really. He's been chasing me and I've been running from him all week. No, we're not running from the devil. This said, we are to withstand. We are to stand face to face and vigorously oppose him and say, no, you don't, devil. No further in the name of Jesus. You're not going to do this in my family. You're not going to do this in my body. In the name of Jesus, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to let you trespass on my body. We need to get some guts as believers. We need to have a strong backbone and stand upon the word of God. Look into his beady little eyes and say, no, you don't. I'm not backing off. You're the one that's leaving in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And once we know these things, then we are ready to pray. Ephesians 6:18 out of the Amplified. Praying at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose. We already talked about we need to have purpose in our praying and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. There we have it right there. All manner of prayer, every occasion, every season. There is always a prayer that is equal to each situation that we face. We have what? Alert. Some of you need to be alert right now. Wake up. We are to be alert. watchful, having strong purpose, and persevere. Now, I love these definitions of persevere. Good. Some of you woke up. Persevere. I can go louder anyway. Persevere. These are some of the definitions. To persist in or remain constant to a purpose. That's what we do when we pray. We're persistent. Amen. And then the verb of persevere. I love these. Keep going. Keep it up. Never say die. And if you're from a British background, carry on. Carry on, chaps. Hallelujah. Perseverance means this. Stick-to-itiveness.
Yes.
Tenacity. Steadfastness. Unfortunately, we all know people in our day that know very little about sticking with anything. Perseverance is not really a part of a lot of people's lives. The attitude is, well, I will if it's easy. Until I get uncomfortable. I'll stay at the job until it gets hard. I might serve in the church until I don't feel like it anymore. I might stay in this relationship as long as there are no challenges. People have that attitude in their lives, and it can carry over into our spiritual walk. Our Christianity walk is not for weaklings. Some people say, oh, Christianity is a crutch. Absolutely not. It takes courage, and it takes having a strong spirit to even serve Jesus and to stand in this fight of faith. But having done all to stand, we're going to stand. Everybody say, I'm not a wimp. I'm a warrior in the Lord's army. Amen. We're not going to lack perseverance. Just because something gets hard, we're not quitters. If I say that, I'm not a quitter. We walk by faith. And faith is not just a confession. It is an action. I like something that a friend of ours, Mark Hankins, said this. Promises in the Word of God are motion activated. But unfortunately, the church is full of nouns instead of verbs. What do I mean by that? Well, it's all about me, myself and I. Let me take a selfie and put it on Facebook and show everybody how good I looked in church today. All about me, myself, and I. But no, we as Christians, we are not just a noun. We need to be verbs. Anybody remember what a verb means? It's action. It's an action word. Put some action in our lives, acting upon the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are in the Lord's army. And in this army, it represents that there's going to be battles. But we've already won. Again, we have to enforce the enemy's defeat. We have to withstand his attacks and his plots and his strategies. Being part of the Lord's army means that we are on call. We're ready to offer our supply in prayer. We're ready to pray out prayer assignments that he puts into our hearts. Don't take your faith off of the line and some things that you're believing God for. Stand on the Word of God and see his promises and those prayers come to pass.